Please turn to Luke 2. We've been going through Luke 2. We've spent 2 weeks in it. This is our third week, and we're going to get up through verse 20 today, considering the story of the birth of our Lord. Thus far in our study of Luke's telling of the story, we've been told of that decree of Caesar Augustus that for a registration for the purposes of taxation that caused, in God's providence, for Joseph and Mary to find themselves in Bethlehem. There was no one to receive them, so the babe, our Lord, was born and wrapped in swaddling cloths, placed in a manger. Shepherds in their field have seen an angel has come, and then a host of angels have told them about this babe and have pronounced glory to God and peace unto all those with whom God is pleased. We pick up now verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is God's word for us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations in our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. How do you respond to good news? Oh, these days you probably grab your cell phone and start sending out a text. If you can get it into 160 characters to send out to someone who also has a cell phone. Maybe you go to Facebook and put a little announcement there on your Facebook page so that your Facebook friends will hear it. You know, back in the day when Betsy and I got engaged out in Cades Cove, out in the Smoky Mountains, we drove away and we found a payphone. Some young people don't even know what that is. We found a payphone and stopped there to make a few calls to tell some folks that we were engaged to be married. Well, in this case here, as the good news is told to the shepherds, they have to make a number of responses, and they have to go on foot, as it were, to see if what they were told was true. Really, there's one. I know I have 1 through 9. Don't let that scare you. I just went through and put in a word. I tried to use verbs in a word what they did. This is really a one-point sermon, as the whole story of what the shepherds did is sort of one point in and of itself, I think, with all these different facets of how we ought to respond to the good news. Well, they had been told some more remarkable things about this child who was going to be born. Just to review in verse 10, the angel said, "Fear not." Of course, that would be pretty fearful, a shepherd out just doing his job, and he looked up and there's an angel. "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news, the gospel, good news of great joy for all the people. That is, all those who will respond in faith. And here's the good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So there was what they were told. And then, of course, the angels offer some praise to God with the whole host, and they return to heaven. So what do the shepherds do? Well, verse 15, we're told the angels went away. They looked at one another and said, "All right, look, God has obviously spoken to us. Let's go do what he said. Let's see this thing that the Lord has made known to us." So they go. They look at one another, they discuss it for a moment, and they head off to Bethlehem. It seems they must have been relatively close, because it does appear that they make it there that evening. So as they went with haste, they found Mary, they found Joseph, they found the babe. And again, for the third time in this section of 1 through 20, it says the babe was laid in a manger. That was a sign for them. A king, a savior has been born. But there's a sign you're going to see. He's not wrapped in royal robes, laying in a golden crib. He is going to be in a manger, a feeding trough. And there he was. No, when they saw it, you know what? The first thing they did, they said, listen, y'all, an angel just came to us. We were just out tending to the sheep. An angel came. Listen to what this angel said. They say to Mary and Joseph, and I suppose any others who may have been there, they tell them this news. Listen to what the angel said. That babe is a savior, Christ the Lord. Now remember, Mary had been visited by an angel. Here is confirmation. Now, 9 months later, Joseph had been visited by an angel, we're told in Matthew. Here is confirmation. These shepherds, ordinary laborers doing their job, show up here in the night and confirm everything that Mary and Joseph separately in God's providence had been told. He's Christ the Lord. They told us to come here and we'd find him laying in a manger, and here he is. All who heard, whoever those all were, Mary and Joseph and whoever else it might have been, wondered. And of course, I think we could even extrapolate to this, all that the shepherds, because this wasn't the end of the story for them, all that heard their message wondered at what the shepherds told them. Verse 19, we're told Mary treasured up these things and pondered them. And then the shepherds, well, they said, well, let's go back to work. So they went back to work, but they had a new skip in their step as they go back out to the field to continue watching over their flock. Well, they have a job to do. They go back, but they are now glorifying and praising God. Or we might say they're accomplishing now, as they go back to work, their chief end, glorifying God and enjoying him. Now as they go back to work, because they're glorifying and praising because they've heard and seen remarkable things. And it all occurred just as the angel told them. So how ought we to respond to the good news? Well, the shepherds listened. They listened to what God... Now again, God, folks, it's true. God doesn't send angels to appear in heaven to tell us things. If you really wish that he did that, I'm sorry, that's not what he does. He takes a little more simple route with us. We have a book. The Bible, the Holy Word, 66 books. This is his word to us, written, his special revelation. We ought to listen to it, just like the shepherds listened to that word from the Lord. At that point in the history of redemption, he chose an angel to go tell them. But then he used them, didn't he, ordinary shepherds, to continue telling. So they listened. They listened to what the angel said. They listened to God's word. Now it appears that they had no doubts, no questioning, no hesitation. Now that's not to say that we don't ever wonder. We're going to get to that. But the word was clear. They had God's word. It was told them very clearly from the angel, who was obviously God's messenger. When God speaks, in other words, when we have his word spoken, they didn't doubt it. They didn't question it. They didn't question God's word. They didn't hesitate. Number two, they encouraged one another. They didn't talk about it and what they had heard. They said, can you believe this? Wow. They had a little discussion, a little gathering there. Talk to one another and say, hey, all right, here's what we ought to do. Let's go. So they've listened. Number one, they encourage one another with this news and to make sure that they're all sort of have understanding of what they just experienced. Then they go and they see. Verse 16, they went with haste. They listened to what God had told them, and they acted immediately with haste. And they found exactly what God told them they would find. They've listened, they've encouraged one another, they've gone and they have seen. And the first thing they do is they tell. They tell. What do? When you hear good news, you listen. You encourage one another with it. You go and you see what God says is true. This same thing happens in Jesus as he grows up, begins his ministry. He calls a disciple, an apostle in that case. I believe when he calls Simon and Peter. Peter and Andrew, James and John, excuse me, Simon and Peter, the same person. Peter and Andrew, James and John, he calls one. They go and tell one another, look, listen, come and see. The Savior's here, come and see. It's the same principle that plays out every day in the Christian life. You go and you see and then you tell. They tell them the good news that they've heard from the angel. Telling others what God has done for us ought to be the regular response of Christians. This ought to be the regular lifestyle that we have. Verse 17, when they saw that what God said was true, it's okay. When he tells us something, see if it's true. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. There's an object to their message, this child, Jesus. He's our message, what he's done for us. You don't have to be eloquent. You just take what God's taught you, what he's taught you in his word, what he's taught you in Sunday school class, what he teaches you here as we gather for worship, how he's worked in your life, how he's answered your prayers. Sometimes exactly as you ask, sometimes in challenging ways, not exactly as you asked. His will wasn't exactly as you hoped it would be. You tell others about it so they can understand how God has worked in your life. In your own vocations, your callings, your occupations. As God has worked in your life through that, you tell others. In your family life, marriage and parenting and grandparenting and dealing with relations. You tell others so they have opportunity to do what? To wonder. All who heard in verse 18 wondered. Now this is I stuck in number 5 is what a little subpoint here of what others do when they hear your message. They wondered. Give them an opportunity to wonder at what God has done for you, at what he's told you, at what he's taught you. They wondered. Everyone wondered. No, it doesn't say everyone believed. They heard it. That's how God tells us. Through the preaching of the gospel, through the sharing of our faith, others hear the good news. At that point, it must be the Holy Spirit to work in them, to give them the response. We can't guarantee the response, but we can tell them what God's taught us and what God's done for us. So they wonder. And that what happens at the Christmas season? Many people wonder. They wonder about this babe that people talk about, born in a manger, and about angels. Most people tend to give gifts, whether they believe that story or not. They have a sort of a Christmas tradition. Not all believe, though. Some just wonder and remain in unbelief. Others listen. Now, Mary, we're told, this is a good example for us. Mary treasured. Verse 19, she treasured. That means that she took it by faith that this was true. She believed. She believed what the shepherds told her. She thought about what the angel had told her. She treasured up these things. She treasured them. She believed. She had faith. But she also pondered them in her heart. This is where she's like the person who came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you can, will you heal my child? And he said, if I can, Anything's possible. And it says, well, I believe, help my unbelief. She believed, but she still didn't understand it all. We don't always understand it all the first day. I'm 43 and I've been an ordained minister for 11 years now and I don't understand it all. I say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Regularly, I pray that prayer. That's not a prayer of lack of belief. That's a prayer, Lord, grow me. I believe, help my unbelief. Of course, the shepherds, these simple guys, we can appreciate them, can't we? Oh, Lord, make us more like the shepherds. They, kind of simple guys who understand ordinary, everyday work and communication. They listen, they go, they believe, and they go back to work and they tell. There's different ways. And I put pray. I think in Mary's case, and as we sort of think through how that works itself out, that treasuring and that pondering probably includes prayer. Lord, I see what you've said is true. Now grant me more and more understanding. So, as we move to conclusion here, the shepherds, I just like this. If you stop and these are such familiar passages and words to us, we should stop and sort of take in the details. The shepherds returned. They went back to work. They went back to work. They were still shepherds. They had seen a marvelous thing, but they went back to work. So get back to work. Go do the things we have to do. But their work had a new meaning now. They glorified God. They now, as they worked, they proclaimed all the greatness of who God is. His justice, His mercy, His greatness, His truth. His worth. As they worked now, their work had new meaning. They understood something of the greatness of God now in a way they hadn't before. Because now they've been told the good news. So they glorify God and they praise Him. Now as they work, as those who have come to know the good news, they praise Him. And it appears that they continue to tell of the marvelous things they've heard. Fanny Crosby wrote, "Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth." It doesn't stop there, though, folks. There's more to the story. Fasting alone in the desert. Tell of the days that are past. How for our sins He was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of His labor, of course, accomplishing our salvation, fulfilling the law. Tell of the sorrow He bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. The refrain, "Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard." Finally, tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid Him. Tell how He liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever, I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. I think implicit here in the conclusion, excuse me, they returned to work, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They go back and they live their life, but they remember. They remember the story. They would have remembered it for the rest of their life. Don't you wonder if any of those shepherds, in their older age now, wandered in from the field that day and saw that little babe, now a man, dying on a cross. We don't know. Perhaps there was a shepherd that saw his whole life. Brothers and sisters, The journey that begins in faith will generally end in God's glory being manifest and our praise of Him, both now and forevermore. How do you respond to the good news? Listen. Encourage one another. Go and see. Tell. Pray over it. And get back to work. Glorify, praising God, and remember all that He's done for you. Let's pray.
We thank You for the good news. A Savior who is Christ, who is Christ the Lord, was born, was lived, died for our sins, and arose again for our justification. We praise You, O Lord, even this morning. Amen.
I couldn't help but choose number 258 after this message. Go tell it on the mountain, number 258.